It can be helpful for us to remember that other people do not exist on this planet as strategies to meet our needs. And we do not exist on this planet as strategies to meet other people's needs. But in a culture where humans get objectified and dehumanized so rampantly, it can be easy to forget that your job in life is not a strat. You are not a strategy. You're not an object to meet other people's needs, and other people are not objects to meet your needs. The kind of giving that we are going for in this kind of work is emergent, inspired, free will, generous, authentic giving. And in those spaces, everyone's needs do get met. But it comes from a very, very different consciousness, not from a duty, not from a have to, but from real, authentic love and generosity and joy, the joy of connecting, not the duty of connecting. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Conversations from the Heart. You are in the right place if you are longing to use words in authentic, kind, and direct ways to connect more deeply and to make a meaningful and positive impact on the world at home and at work. Do you want to have a new kind of conversation with both yourself and others? Let's dive in. And as always, I want to invite you to join my membership program if you like calls like this. We do four additional calls. We do structured practice calls. We do Q&A calls, and we work through all of the curriculum. You get all kinds of things, like an introduction to nonviolent communication is included, how to regulate your nervous system, how to not take things personally, how to work with your triggers. I mean, there's a lot in the curriculum of the membership, and then a lot of structured practice. I'm just going to dive in. Like, I'm literally just going to go through the questions as we go, and we'll see how far we get. And Chris, I am going to start with your question. Would you like me to read it, or do you want to just begin at the end with the actual with the request that you have? Do you have a sense of that?
I'm willing to try.
Great.
4 days ago was the start of a major transition where after years of conflict with my wife that involved also living for 10 to 12 years with her mother and taking care of her, she, with help of our therapist, says, you know, it's time for her to decide, does she want to be with me or not? So she's off. I'm very happy off with friends and having time away from me and her mom. In the meantime, I'm sharing responsibility with taking care of her mom with her brother, who this is sort of a Middle Eastern male dominated society. And no matter how much my wife has done, it's never good enough for her mom, while her son is this glowing prince. And so I've accommodated this, and I realize this is part of my personality. I'm proud of the fact that I'm flexible and accommodating without realizing how incredibly damaging that can be to myself. And what's most present in my mind to my wife, who has been subjected to this sort of abusive relationship with her mom, that is just torture for her. And so I told her brother last night, I said, the one thing I've really decided that if my wife wants to continue with me, I'm no longer capable or willing to live with her mom. And the net of that, it's maybe I need to allow time for that to settle in. We've had discussions about this in the past, and he's, oh, we'll look into it, that all just fades. I felt like I really want to be really clear. I'm no longer willing to do this, and we need to start moving ahead on finding a solution. His reaction was eventually just to blow up and say, Chris, you have no idea what you're talking about, and just not going towards the solution. So I feel very happy that I'm realizing my needs and being very firm about staying with that. And yet some of the reactions, which is part of this family tradition of just dealing with things in harsh criticism versus constructive conversation, I just looking for support and ideas on how I stay true to what I really need, and also trying to continue the conversation. By the way, her brother's wife has refused to ever live with her mom. When I reached out to talk to her last night, she says, I don't want to be involved. Keep me out of this.
Got it. Okay. So essentially, I think what I'm sorry.
Does that encapsulate it?
I think so. I think what I'm hearing is that you're in a place where you are getting clearer on your own values and your own boundaries.
Yes.
And you're wanting to go to bat for the limits that you're finding in you, the things you're wanting to agree to and the things you're not wanting to agree to.
Yeah. And just to add to this, the conversation in my head, a lot of it has to do with helping my wife put boundaries that she may be aware of, but just she's so wrapped up in the guilt and the anger, it's not a step she's willing to go. So there's this confusion too that I think for her, she needs to not live with her mom. And that conflict has fed into whatever conflict is authentic or genuine between us, that's only exacerbated it. So there is that also two sides. Does that make sense?
I think so. I think hearing that piece, like there's this piece of you that is also watching the choices that your wife is making and feeling some concern over those choices and wishing for something different for her. I think I'm hearing in you a longing for her to be able to set more boundaries for herself, and also a longing in you to back up whatever boundaries she may want to be setting. I think I'm hearing some like concern for her well-being and protectiveness towards her. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. So
And
let's
that
just set.
unwillingness to participate with my flexibility on something she is naturally going to slide into that I am certain, and lots of feedback around, is not healthy for her.
Okay, so let's get clear on what's in your lane and what is not in your lane first. You're not her parent. You're her partner. So she gets to be on her own journey of where she's at with her boundaries and where she wants to be assertive or not. And your role in that is to be her support, but not to do it for her or decide for her what her path needs to be. How does that land?
That lands very true in some sense. And this is what this sort of dance I've tried to balance for a long time. At the same time, what I'm happy about is that I've gotten to the point where realizing my capacity limits
Nice.
and this impact on me. And so this is where I want to be firm that it's very clear to me, again, if she wants to continue with me, I'm no longer willing to do that. That may be the deal breaker for her. And if so,
It
then
may.
she can make that decision on her own. We then have to worry how what we do with the house and all that, but that's fine. But this is what I'm most happy about. And while there's this tension, there is a release of acknowledgement of, okay, I'm no longer just bowing down and this flexibility is killing me. To say, really, I know what I need. I know what's important to me, and I'm willing to stand for that. And whatever happens, happens.
I hear you really wanting to live in congruence with your sense of integrity, with your values, really reclaiming your own limits, your capacities, what you are and aren't willing to agree to anymore, and wanting to communicate that really clearly, and then staying somewhat unattached to the outcome, sort of giving people the freedom to do whatever they want with that. But you are wanting to express more clearly and directly the truth of your inner experience. Am I getting that right?
Absolutely. And to have that conversation with people who need to be proactive about doing something about this, including her and her brother, and creating some wider understanding of the family who, to a greatly lesser degree, have some input on supporting her mom. Does that make sense? So that this is the thing, like, okay, I remember reading some Rosenberg, the first level of like tuning in your needs is you're obnoxious, right? And so this is the fear balance. I don't want to be obnoxious, but I just want to be strong in doing this and contribute to the most constructive conversations with family as possible. So
Beautiful.
this is my fear and excitement about the opportunity.
Okay,
Does
got
that make
it.
sense?
You don't want to be obnoxious, and you also want to be strong and firm and clear and kind.
Absolutely.
And
Perfect.
you're kind of practicing yourself into that because you notice in yourself a habit of if you're going to err one way or the other, your history has been to self-abandon and be overly accommodating. And you're wanting to be careful right now that you're not being overly accommodating, and you're worrying a little bit that you might become overly obnoxious.
I realized my delusion over the years is that I was so proud of my ability to be flexible and accommodating that I had this delusion that I was building up some credit. That when at those times when I say, Chris, it's time to be firm, that people will say, wow, this is really important to Chris. It's time to listen to him and pay attention. Instead, the reaction is, what's wrong with Chris?
Yeah,
This
you
is
felt
this has
like
been a really helpful delusion on my part to realize I don't have any credit. People have loved the fact that I'm so flexible, and there's something wrong when I'm not. They built their life around Chris being flexible.
Oh, I can really feel into that space where people, it sounds like what you're saying is like people just assume that you're so flexible and accommodating. They didn't register the gift that you were trying to give. And so then when you began asserting what is important to you and where your boundaries are, instead of them feeling like, wow, you've come our way so much all of these years, it's our turn to reciprocate. Instead, it's like there's something you've changed in you and there's something wrong with you. And how do we get you to continue being who we like you to be?
Chris,
How
you're
do you?
broken.
Yeah, Chris, you're broken.
And we know how to fix you. Just listen to this. Here's what you do, A, B, and C, and then you'll be fixed.
And I love your naming that because let's actually put a big yellow highlighter on this thing that we are tempted to do, which is give other people feedback about what is wrong with them and what would be healthy for them, and then tell them how they should change because that would be healthy.
Yeah.
So that is the thing you're not wanting from them, and that is also going to be the thing to watch out for in you.
Thank you.
And the way to do that is to be really grounded in you. And let everybody else be where they are while asking for what would help, while being unattached to the outcome. That's the general
And I
framework.
felt myself doing more of that, and yet I just want to be aware of,
You're kind of wanting to map out all of the obstacles and the roadblocks and sort of get this vision. So, like in short, it's you have a vision emerging in you of a more boundaried, self-advocating, direct, honest, kind self that does less self-abandoning and is really going to bat for the values that you want to be living into. I also hear you really wanting to recruit other people on that journey with you in hopes that other people in the family system will rally around this vision and help you implement it. Is that true
Yes,
or
I
no?
think that's fair. I put it more generically, but to say create more understanding and consensus. But I think it's important to acknowledge that, yeah, I want some recognition that I'm not even more broken and that Chris is just off the wall, and to have me dismissed and just create more of the conflict that's bound to be becoming as I.
So one piece, I'm not sure when and where this will happen, but one piece will be, I would imagine, you saying to people, let me be clear. This isn't about me being broken. This isn't about something being wrong with me. I know you're experiencing a change in me. The change in me is about me reclaiming my boundaries and showing up in ways that are unfamiliar. And here's what's going on for me. I've done a little bit of saying yes to things that I maybe wish I had been saying no to earlier on, and I'm kind of reclaiming that. And I know that's going to be a little bit of a transition for everybody updating. And then you might want to make more explicit your intention and your vision. So another so one piece is catching everybody up with your interpretation of the change and what's happening for you, making explicit for them your change process so that they can understand it in a way that feels accurate to you for what's true in your insights. Another piece will be really fleshing out for everybody your vision of what a healthy family would look like and how that would better serve everybody's needs. And then finding out how close is that to their vision of what a healthy, ideal family looks and feels like.
Beautiful.
There's going to be like, here's what it means to me. And one of the traps we get into as humans is we want to say things like, a healthy family, XYZ, the right way of being, ABC, healthy people don't do this and we have to stop. Like they come from a place of like, I have figured out what's healthy and I'm coming back to tell the rest of the tribe what's wrong with them and how they all can get more healthy and join me. Some version of this is what it typically happens.
And that is a beautiful characterization of a lot of the conversation that goes on in this.
Yes. Yes.
Let me
So,
tell you how it really is.
yes, let me tell you how it really is and what's wrong with all of you. And if you would just change all of this and grow up
That's right.
and get healthier, then we would all be fine. Okay. So that, like we all know where those conversations end. They can kick up a lot of gridlock and a lot of defensiveness. And here's an alternative. You get clear on what kind of relationships you are longing to be in, and you begin describing those. I'm really looking for a marriage that feels like XYZ. I'm looking for family relationships that are reciprocal, where we are caring about one another's needs and that we're looking for solutions where we're all getting our needs met. Do you want that as well or not? Is that, how does that sound to you? Is that something you can buy into, or you see it differently? So there's a little bit of values clarification, because what we're checking for there is goodness of fit. Are we still aligned? Do we want the same things? Do we have the same vision for what kinds of relationships we're wanting to create? So that's different than saying, I've figured out what's healthy and I'm coming back to explain it to all of you and now impose it on all of you. So your strength is going to come from clarity about who you are and what you want, and then allowing other people to tell you the truth about who they are and what they do and don't want, and then finding out what's possible given the truth of where people are. And when we want people to change, because believe me, I'm always wanting people to change, but we want people to change because they see how this change helps them become more of their authentic selves, helps them live into more of their own values, helps them meet more of their own needs. I don't want you changing because I think I have the solution for who you should be. That's not the reason why I want someone to change. I want someone to change because they have an aha, an insight, and they feel inspired to reach for something that feels personally meaningful and aligned to them. That's a very different kind of conversation that I'm having than the here's the right way and that's the wrong way conversation. It takes more time. It means eliciting a lot more data, and it requires a tremendous amount of listening. What is your vision of an ideal relationship? If we could fix everything in this family, what would be happening in your view? And then reflecting that back to someone. So you're really valuing blah, blah, blah. It could be your brother-in-law might say, in my ideal family, my sister would take 100% responsibility for caring for my mother, and I'd never have to deal with it again. And you, as her husband, would understand that's your duty, and you would support her in doing that. That might be his vision. I'm making something up. I have no idea. Then, if you heard something like that, you would check in with yourself and find out how aligned is that for you or not. And you could say, okay, so for you, it would be like this. Here's what doesn't work for me around that. Here's what it is for me. Now, if there's a lot of difference, then we're first going to the earlier stages is like observing it, making it explicit, putting it on the table and looking at it and saying, wow, we have a bit of a dilemma. Our agendas are really different here. What we're going to bat for is very different here. Given that, what's possible and what isn't? That's a different kind of conversation. How's that landing on you, Chris?
That's wonderful. I mean, just share a fear and from experience. And it happened last night when I told my brother-in-law this. And along with some tidbits on how destructive the relationship it is between my wife and her mother. For instance, we came back from vacation for 2 weeks, and she immediately, first thing she says to her daughter is, you abandoned me, right? Not did you have a wonderful time? I'm glad you had some time away, but you abandoned me. So that led into this hole where he wanted to go towards, there were great reasons why we did this, and then reevaluating the past. And it was like, you know what? I'm not here to say there was, I really enjoyed being close to your own mother. This isn't about this, it's about what we want now. And from this point on, it just, to me, I'm looking for the right words to help communicate. I don't think it's helpful at all to go back and evaluate the rights and wrongs and what should have been and what could have been or why it was.
Yep, I agree. So do you want me to respond to the mother-in-law saying, you abandoned me? Or is there a different sentence you want me to respond to from what the brother-in-law said?
Sorry, it's just this generic thing that when the conversation goes towards not what we do now, not that there is a change, but a conversation about whole reevaluation of the past and arguing over how we should evaluate that, which I'm not interested in. and I don't think is helpful. It's a how do I,
I
I'm
would
trying to
leave it.
say really be clear about I don't think that's helpful. I've we had wonderful times with mom. I have no regrets at this point, and I don't have a time machine. I only want to talk about what's our new arrangement. I want you to understand what my awareness and growth is and what that means and the conversation of what we do from here.
Is there any part of you that can pick up what is important to the other person about the past and then build onto the future, or that doesn't seem possible?
If I thought it was helpful, I'm fine doing that.
Yeah. Let me,
It's just
without
that my
having.
sense is that we're gonna it's this debate and evaluation that's just not gonna lead to it. But I
So.
hear your point, and I think it's a good one that to honor this is what they want to talk about. And so
Well,
at
let
the
me
same
put a
time
finer
being
point on it. It's not that they want to necessarily, I don't know enough about the people, right? So let's take this with a grain of salt. But generally, when somebody continues to want to go back into the past and explain something or defend something or point out something, one of the moves I have available to me, especially if I'm getting impatient with all those details and feeling like, oh my goodness, like this is, we don't have any agency over what's already happened. I want to keep my attention on what we can control, which is what we do in the now. And then what we might agreements we might make. But what I'm often listening for is what is it that this person needs me to hear and pick up before they can join me in the present moment moving forward? And often it's something like, yeah, so I'm going to make something up because I don't have enough details, but often a sentence like, yeah, in the past, when I have done XYZ and we've agreed to such and such, that worked really well for you. And you're trying to understand why we don't just do that anymore. Is that right? Or you're telling me, you, as you go back and tell me all of this, it sounds like you're really wishing that we could just figure out a way to go back to the way things was. I don't remember which one it is. Is that true? And you know, you want to get to a yes somehow, where the other person says, yes, exactly. I, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Now we have a shared reality that we can build on. But otherwise, what you have is two people, one person talking about, you know, level A and the other person talking about level C, and there's no connection. I want to go on this highway, you want to go on that highway, but no one is able to bridge the two highways. We don't have an intersection yet. So we sometimes need to find that intersection in the conversation before we can get people into the present moment and thinking about a pivot. How's that landing?
beautiful. And I realize that this is sort of my natural inclination and the blocker I have when in the process of a conversation, like last night, my brother-in-law says, Chris, you have no idea what you're talking about.
So in
It's
that sentence, I would say, what is it that you think I'm missing? And then what would he say? Like if you
so
said,
this had to do with sort of my empathy for the 90-year-old mother and what the trauma that would be to have her move somewhere and realize that what her life is like and pain and what she's who she has been all her life from coming from the culture of the Middle East. And so, that it's not about changing her.
you are going to bat for accepting her as she is.
This is what he's saying. I don't understand. I don't
Okay,
understand
great,
how
great, great,
everything that.
great.
Which I do. I massage oil under her legs every day, where I don't think he's ever done that.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
it's very offensive to say that because I've been living with her every day and he comes and stays a few days at a time. But
Yeah. So it sounds like what happens in you is he's going to bat for she is who she is and she's never going to change, and you need to just accept her. Is that the essence of what he's going to bat for?
yes,
Okay.
combined with then saying. And so, yes, if we do that, we have to make sure she gets the buy-in, which of course she never would. She's very
Okay, hold
comfortable
on.
here.
Yeah, so hold on before we go there. So he's going to bat for accept her as she is. This is who she is. She's never going to change. You don't get it. And you're going to bat for some version of, and correct me where I'm getting this wrong, that may be true, but I'm changing. And what I'm available for and what I'm not available for, and what I've been willing to do in the past and what I'm willing to do moving forward is now different. And that's what I'm wanting to have a conversation about.
Perfect.
Is that right? Yeah.
Perfect. Yes.
Yeah. So again, like the way is to pick up what the other person is saying. Don't resist it. Say it back so they know you've received it. Often other people need to hear their words coming out of our mouths. They need to hear what they're going to bat for coming out of our mouths, which is different than, yes, I do understand, but that's not strong enough. It's really literally, yes, you're wanting me to understand that she is who she is and she's never going to change. And it is our duty to accommodate her and care for her as she is. Is that right? Yes, I'm getting that. Here's what I'm trying to say. I'm changing. My boundaries are changing. My willingness is changing. My goodwill is changing. And I'm updating you on that.
My awareness of my capacities.
Yes, lovely. We've gotten to a point, and one way you can hold this with some dignity for yourself is, as I look back on the decisions I've made up to this moment, I've had a lot of generosity and willingness to work with. And what I'm realizing is that it is now beginning to cost me in ways that I'm no longer willing to pay that price. And so we're going to need to make a change. And that's just like, listen, it's a shift in me. You're acknowledging the shift in you. And you're also very clearly saying, this is what I'm now needing. And I'm just updating everyone. You get to speak the truth of what you're needing.
Yes. And it's free.
It's freeing.
And I want to continue the conversation. And you've been incredibly helpful and incredibly generous with so much time.
You feel like you have some tools, some things to go try?
Yes. And a transcript to reread many times,
Okay,
all in
good.
sync with kind of my how I've been feeling. But it's very helpful to have lots more details around it. So thank you so
Great.
much.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome, Chris. What a great, it sounds like a very meaningful and profound conversation that a lot of people probably can relate with. This weaving together of perspectives when we're trying to make a change in a family system. It's sacred work. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good luck. I'll be curious to know how it goes.
I'll be on here more often and you can
Okay,
keep me updated.
good. Wonderful. So then we're going to move on to Dan. I'm looking for strategies to connect with my oldest kid who shares very little about their challenges and celebrations. Hi, Dan. How can I help?
Hello. Yes, I believe what's behind it is there was some trauma that my oldest kid went through with the end of high school. And since then, I really feel like I have very little connection, don't hear much of anything. And when I do hear, it's mostly one syllable responses. So I'm really looking to establish a connection with
Okay.
that's we did have at one time, by the way. I
Was
did a lot with them growing up and did a lot, went to a lot of things with them, was carrying them around, reading to them, on and on and on, go down the line. And I miss that.
great. And what have you tried so far?
Oh, I have tried talking directly. Like, I really would like us to be connected. I've
Pause there.
sent.
Pause there. Pause there. Sorry, sorry.
Sure.
Sorry to interrupt you.
Sure.
I would like us to be connected is a great start, but let me make that a little more powerful because you're speaking about the collective instead of about you. I miss you and I long to be more connected to you. Do you want that too or not? Can you feel the difference?
Yeah, so the spotlight is more on my needs or what I'm feeling more directly.
It is that, and it is also honoring that your son might not want that. Whereas I would like us to be more connected is an assumption of sameness. Because I would like
I
us to be
see.
more connected, you should want that too, is one way that we could implicitly hear that. I would like us to be more connected. And therefore, I haven't slowed down to find out yet what might be getting in the way of you wanting to be more connected to me. So building that in early on might give you a lot more data. He might
So,
say, yes, I would love that too, Dad. And that now you can start. Or he might say, yeah, what do you think would happen there?
in other words, I could get the direct message that, I really don't want to be connected right now.
Yeah, you might. How would that be?
That would really be tough.
Then
I would
then
really have a tough time with that.
let's prepare for that. Let's prepare for that because if I said to my kiddo, listen, I miss you and I'd really like to be more connected, would you like that too? And my kid said to me, I actually like things the way they are. I'm good. I'm fine, right? Then I might say next, Tell me more about that. What's working for you around how things are? What's underneath that? Is there something about the way that I show up that is unpleasant for you that I don't know about? Is there something you wish that I would do differently? Are there needs of yours not getting met by the way that I'm showing up? I really just want more information. And I want to make it as safe as possible for other people to tell me the truth about their experience with me. This is how we establish connection, is through making it safe for the truth to be told. And I think as a parent, I'd want to remind myself, I'm a good enough parent. I can have connection with my child. I'm just trying to get the data that I need about what's getting in the way.
That's really the key. I need to find out what it is that's causing there to not be this connection when there was before.
Yes. And it might not be personal at all. It might have absolutely nothing to do with you, right?
Right.
Yeah. But if your child is struggling with something themselves and needing time to focus on themselves, and you as parent, this isn't you, Dan, but if parents come in with you child looking after yourself is hurting me, is abandoning me, just to talk about the earlier the person we just talked to, you know, if parents make it about me and my needs and I need connection and I need to not be abandoned, whatever that is, it makes it more difficult for the child when the child is needing something. Because children love, you know, generally speaking, children love their parents and want to look after their parents. And then they end up spending resources on their parents and then on the back end resenting that because the kids are needing something. And the parent is leading with the parent's needs. So just being thoughtful about that, do your needs matter? Of course they do. Is there room for your needs in the conversation? Of course. And when there's this kind of separation or disconnection or whatever it is, I recommend beginning with the needs of the child, not the needs of the parent, and really understanding and becoming a resource for them, as opposed to recruiting them into being there for us. What do you think about that?
Yeah, so kind of avoiding convoluting what they are feeling and needing versus what I'm feeling and needing.
Yeah, you mentioned that your son had some trauma in high school. Yes, am I remembering that right?
Yes.
Was that involving you, or was that involving something else?
No, it was separate from where I from.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how long ago was that? How many years have passed since that?
Oh, it's about 10 years now.
Okay, so you're wondering whether or not that thing is connected. In mentioning it, I'm assuming you're sort of wondering if there's a connection. Is that right?
Yeah. And we've never talked about it. Never really is, you know, I know that they work through this in therapy and they're talking, yeah. Well, supposedly they're working through it in therapy. I haven't seen it in practice in how, you know, they're dealing with us, but yeah, supposedly that's happening.
Yeah,
but so, we haven't heard directly about it, and we don't hear directly about most things. You know, what are okay. the main things you're interested in? What are your challenges? What are your celebrations?
Yeah. So I would describe that. Here's some language. And again, okay. Make it your own. Okay. This is my language, but you make it in your style. But it sounds something like this in me, like, you know, dear child, son, you know, I've been reflecting on our relationship and noticing that I am missing you and really wanting to connect with you. Are you up for that? Do you want that? You know, would you enjoy having, and then I might have a very specific ask, you know, would you enjoy just having a conversation on Sunday sometime? I'd love to just connect with you. Yeah. And I've been noticing, you know, I was thinking the other day about that thing that happened in high school and thinking about the last 10 years, and it looks like you are, so successful in your life, or whatever is true there, right? Like you've moved on to this and that. I'd mention their strengths, the good things that they've done. I know you've been in therapy. I know you've done a lot of learning and growing, and I'm beginning to feel a little distant. I feel like I'd love an update on what your journey has been like over the last 10 years. Is there anything in the way that I show up that makes it difficult for you to share that with me? Sometimes I notice myself asking a question and I get a one-word answer, and it leads me to wonder if there's something in our history that has you feeling a little reluctant to share with me. Is that happening or not? Because if it is, I'd love to learn how I could show up for you in a way that would feel more inviting, safer. Do you see the direction that I'm pointing in?
The direction of connection.
Yeah, and the connection of reflecting together on the process of being together and making it safe for him to let you know what doesn't work for him about it. And also to give you information about, you could literally ask, how much of this should I be taking personally? And how much of this has nothing to do with me at all? I just want an update. Like, is it just that you're super busy and like loving your life and distracted by all the things that are bringing you joy? And, you're launched and individuated, and I'm cheering you on from a distance, and it's got nothing to do with me? Or is there something to do with me? Because if there is, I want to do something about that. I want to learn.
Yeah, I really miss the connection more than anything. I miss that we share things and we have that in common and we have certain things in common.
Yeah.
And I miss that more than anything.
Yeah. So you could say that. And then I would say one of two things, or all of these. Do you miss that too? Do you want that too? Right? You check for alignment. Do you want the same things or not? And two, if we want them, what could we do to build some of that in? And if we don't want the same thing, what's getting in the way? What would work better? What are you actually wanting? Listen more deeply.
Okay.
What do you think?
Well, just a lot going, like I've said earlier, there's a lot churning through my mind right now and trying to navigate it all and trying to put it all together. And so I appreciate you spending the time with me here.
Yeah, 100%. What would be the most painful thing to discover that a part of you might want to avoid finding out?
That my oldest kid really doesn't value connection with me.
That would be painful.
Extremely. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So let's just sit with that for a moment. And just imagining, what if I find that out? What if I find out that my oldest child really is not looking for connection with me right now? What might I say? Let's say he even had the ability to tell me that. Dad, I just don't really want connection with you. I'm not looking for that. I'm happy with my life as it is. I like things the way they are. Let's imagine he said that. What would come up in you next, Dan?
It would be difficult not to think of myself as a failure as a father at that point. It would be difficult.
Okay. So let's detox that. That doesn't mean you're a failure as a father. In fact, if your son could say that to you directly, that would be a huge success as a father, first of all. Anytime that our children are willing to tell us the truth about something, that is a sign of connecting. That is us doing something right. I remember Marshall Rosenberg talking about how one of the ways that we suffer the most is believing that there's such a thing as a good parent, or that we're supposed to be a good parent, right? That we've got to let go of that. And I just want to be really clear for anybody who doesn't have a lot of context with my work. When I say that there's no such thing as a bad parent, I'm not saying that harm doesn't happen. Real harm happens. People do get traumatized. I'm not glossing over that. So and if we need to get into the context of that, we can on a future call. But if my kid told me they don't want to be in connection with me, that would be, I would want to get prepared for that to be a joyful thing to hear, because now we're talking. Now, at least in them being able to tell me that, I can now get more information. Doesn't mean anything about my goodness as a mom. It means that I was an imperfect human being who did the best I could with the temperament that I had, matching with this temperament of this kid, and we're continuing to work it out. And here we are in conversation, still working it out. If I'm not able, that's the prep work. So that when my child tells me that, I can say, oh, wow, thank you so much for telling me that. That's hard for me to hear. And I'm really, really grateful that you felt like you could tell me that. Tell me more. What would make it more likely that you would want to connect with me? What gets in the way of connection with me? What do I do? Like, a very simple frame is, what can I stop doing? What can I start doing? And what can I keep doing? It's really, I long to have a better relationship with you. And if there's something that I'm doing that makes that painful for you, I want to know. And if there's some healing that we need to do, I want to know. And I hope you can tell me. I want to be a safe place for you to be able to tell me those things. That's how we make ourselves available for connection. The biggest thing, you're not saying this at all, Dan, so this isn't about you. This is just in general a pattern that I see with parents. What often happens with parents is we hear things from our children, and then either we go into shame, and then that's a burden on our children, because then they feel like they have to rescue us from our shame. And so they don't want to tell us anything, because then they have to deal with all of our shame and all of our guilt and making us feel better and reassuring us and, like rescuing us from our feelings. So that's the one thing. Or we make it all about us in some way, and we miss them. And they don't want to keep being missed and looking after us. So one of the things that we often need to do is make sure that we're not making it overly about us. How is that landing?
I like it. Yeah. I think finding the mutual connection, finding the place we can, moving it to a consciousness where we can connect.
Yeah. What I hear a lot from you is a really deep, deep care for your son and a real, a genuine and earnest desire to figure out what you can figure out in order to make connection more likely and more possible. And I think if you really ground yourself in that part of yourself and stay committed to that, the language you need and the wisdom you need in the moments will emerge from you. And I think from what you're telling me today, the places where you lose connection yourself with your own wisdom is when you become afraid of hearing something that you think might hurt. Is that true or no?
Yeah. I mean, I am afraid of certain things. There's no question. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of strength and internal capacity in knowing that and being able to say that. Yeah, it makes you human and vulnerable and easy to connect with.
Well, that's the goal, is to make it easier to connect. So, no, I really appreciate it.
What other questions come up in this moment as you're thinking about the conversation we just had and some of the things I've said? What feels alive right now? Anything else?
Well, that it might be tough to have these discussions about, okay, where have I fallen short in things I've done? Mm-hmm. I feel like I've spent a lot of my life hearing about where I've fallen short from people. It's hard to go back there again.
Yes. Okay. So then I'm so glad you said that. I'm so glad you said that because I'm noticing that I'm making that recommendation from the assumption that you have online, which it sounds like maybe isn't there and probably isn't there for most of us anyway. I don't know why I would make that assumption, but where that's coming from in me is the assumption that you're only listening for your child's feelings and needs and that you're not hearing it as a critique of you. Because to the degree that you're hearing it as a critique of you, it's going to be very painful. To the degree that you can ask for the feedback and really understand that what your child is telling you, even if it's framed in, you never listen to me, that it's not a critique of you. It's your child telling you about a need that they have that you could meet, which is, I feel frustrated because I really want to be heard and I don't have enough experiences of being heard. And if you can hear the feelings and the needs and you can pick up, okay, got it. So you really want a deeper experience of being heard by me. Is that right? It's going to be so much easier for you than if you feel like I'm opening myself up for you to throw arrows at me and hurt me. I'm not asking you to do that. It's more like the skill that you want in order to really navigate that conversation is to understand the only thing other people are ever telling you is a please or a thank you, as Marshall Rosenberg would say. And every accusation is just a please. Understand my feelings and understand my needs. And you want to listen through that lens if you can. It's not actually feedback for you other than the part of you that's like, in what ways have these needs not been met? And what could I be doing differently to help meet those needs? How's that landing? How's that landing on you, Dan?
Well, yeah, it's, well, I just have to see how it plays out because it's been a minefield for me over the years. Let's just say that it's tough to get out of that. And
So it sounds like you would first need a lot of empathy for you, for your pain, for what it's been like for you, for the things that you fielded. I think your bucket likely needs to be filled up first, but not from yourself.
Yes. Yes, I think so. I think I need to be coming from a place where I feel okay with whatever happens in discussion.
And the way we get there is when we have reclaimed for ourselves our own goodness and our confidence in our loving heart and our good intentions. And we no longer feel like our worthiness is dependent on us getting everything right. Yeah. Our worthiness in some ways comes from our ability to get everything wrong all the time and still be in relationship with each other. I mean, what would it be like if you could be a shitty parent and loved anyway? That's what I aim for, you know? Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome. Good luck. Go get empathy. In this moment, I'm like, oh, I wish for you like 3 hours of people holding space for you to talk about what's been painful for you and getting your own bucket filled up so that you have something new to bring to your son. Yeah. Do you have a place where you can get that?
Not always. No. So yes, that's something that's needed. I mean, I think coming from within, especially.
Yeah. There are so many certified trainers in nonviolent communication who do empathy work that I would highly recommend finding a very skilled person to do some empathy work with. And if there are any people on this call who feel like they have that skill deeply online and, you know, feel like reaching out to Dan, you of course can. But I would find that. I think the request that you have, the way it lives in me would be, I'm needing a lot of empathy for some painful things that I fielded and that I've been through. How willing or able do you feel like you are to just hold some space for me to get more connected to myself? And then find the people who can do that for you and see how far that gets you. You may have all kinds of things unlock and a pathway show up inside of you that makes sense in terms of your next steps with your son once you've done that piece. So good luck.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I think your son's very lucky to have you.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Any clarifying questions on this piece? Yes, Eli, hi.
So during this conversation, you ran through a little role play where it was the dad says, hey, I want to connect with you. And the kid says, hey, dad, I don't want to connect with you. And then the dad says something like, all right, I hear you. That's hard for me to hear. Will you tell me some more? And so what I'm wondering, so my next role play is my kid saying, dad, I just told you I don't want to connect. Why are you forcing me to connect with you?
Then I'm going to say, thanks for letting me know that. Let me recalibrate. That's good feedback for me. I under no circumstances ever want you to feel like you're forced to connect with me. What's it like to hear me tell you that?
Fine. Just leave me alone.
Okay. How old is the son? What is the context? I would need a lot more information to know what the next step would be.
Oh, I don't know. This is just like me extending the role play. So the bottom line question was, how does me asking my kid for more honor my kid's request to not have more?
If there is a clear and explicit request, if a son has said to me, I am not interested in having a relationship with you, I don't want to connect with you, and I do not want you to reach out to me. Now we have a clear and present request that needs to be honored. I can still talk about where I'm at with that. But very often when people are like, I don't want to connect. I'm not going to. Yes, good, fine. We don't have enough information. It's all code. You're still speaking in code. You don't actually know what's going on yet. So it's worth the effort to find out if the son is doubling down and saying, you're not listening to me. I don't want to connect with you. I have no interest in a relationship with you. Stop calling me. Now I have the information I need. Then I'm going to sit with that information and I'm going to work with that information. But very often that's not what kids are doing when they are rolling their eyes at us. And also we want to calibrate for developmental age. So there's so much relational context that would influence whatever the next step is and what the next move is. And part of navigating these conversations is attuning to the person you're talking to. It's not like there's one way that's just going to work with all sons and all dads in all situations. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah.
So is there a particular thing you're thinking of there, Eli? Does that get at it? I think the question you had is like, how do you not force something on someone? Is that it?
It was more, does asking for more information honor the kid's request for not wanting to connect in that moment?
If there's a, yeah. So then I think I've answered it. Yeah. It may or may not, but you'll find out very quickly. They'll either double down or it'll shift and then you attune.
Right. Right. All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah. You're welcome. Yeah. The other option you have in that situation, when somebody says, look, I just don't want to talk to you, you can always say, okay, would it be okay with you if I checked in with you in a month to find out if that changed? Do you want me to reach out in 6 months' time? How much time do you need? Like, then there could just be a different conversation about, I absolutely want to honor that. I just want some clarity on what the next steps are. Do you want me to never get in touch with you until you reach out to me? Like, just help me understand what the frame is that we're working with here. You sometimes do need a little bit of information about what that means Otherwise, you're sitting with the anxiety of not knowing and loops that haven't really been closed or made explicit, and a lot of assumptions in the space. So you can always then say, got it. Okay, hold on. It feels to you like I'm forcing connection on you. It feels to you like I'm pushing in places that you don't want me to. I want to honor that. Here's the clarity that I need in order to help you get what you're needing. And then you can sometimes give somebody options. Do you want me to wait until you reach out to me like this? There's something powerful in having specific behaviors outlined and agreed on, so we all know what we're doing and why.
Sure. Okay. Thanks.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I'm noticing that we have like a minute and we have Beatrix.
All right. I will be concise. I just wanted to express my gratitude for these calls. I'm also doing at the moment your boundaries course, which is so, so useful. If I can, I would share quickly my three big insights, which are basically quotes from you in the...
Yeah, from the boundaries the course. Great. Share the three insights. I love it.
So number one, empathy and connection are not the tool for every situation.
Yes.
Wow. Especially with my kids, I was always going for empathy. Mm-hmm. So this was a big one for me. If you do not enforce a boundary, it is a wish.
Yes.
That was another aha moment. I was expressing wishes.
Yes.
I was not setting boundaries, especially not with my son. Yes. And the third one, it is loving and caring to meet people at the intensity that they need.
Yes.
So I prefer what you call the soft touch,
yes.
Coaching and redirecting.
Yes.
But yes, there are some people who don't hear it.
Yes. Love those insights. And I would love to dive into your application question next week. Thank you very much for being here, everybody. It's always a pleasure. I learn a lot. This is a form of play and I can't do it without your participation and showing up. So thank you. Just a friendly reminder, if this episode resonated with you, please share with your family, friends, and coworkers. And if these conversations leave you wanting more, please consider joining my monthly membership program where you can join me live to keep growing with a community of open-hearted, like-minded people just like you. There are more free resources, including a quiz to help you assess your preferred listening style at yvetteerasmus.com and a lot of free videos on my YouTube channel. Remember, personal growth is a journey and not a destination, so please keep loving up all your awkward, messy, and imperfect parts as you go. See you next time.